Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly good to have you going out today. We're glad to be here to worship the Lord. We're going to begin in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 and 16 as introduction. The title of the lesson is Forsaking the Right Way. It's easy to go astray. And there's a couple of points here in 2 Peter 2. We'll go to Numbers 22 for the lesson. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, talking about false teachers in the church, forsaking the right way, they've gone astray. Having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam was a prophet of God. Yeah, he tried to negotiate more money for his preaching there. And he went astray to do it. You know, and you turn astray, you've forsaken the right way, and you can find yourself in real trouble. And in verse 16, but he received a rebuke for his own transgression. For a dumb donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. What he was doing was madness. You forsake the right way, you're not in your right mind. I mean, there are consequences. You going to go astray from the Lord and leave the narrow road? Look at Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22, and as Israel's been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and they're about to go into the promised land. You got the Moabites and the Midianites in there, and they go up on the mountain, and they look out across the Jordan River, and there are so many people that you can't count. And they're afraid they're going to lose the land. They're going to lose it. So they're going to pay the prophet Balaam to curse the people of God. They got a plan. When you're in the world, darkness and ignorance, you come up with ignorant things. But it's the survival is all that matters. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 12, and Balaam goes, talks to God, and God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they're blessed. I don't want to hear you cursing them. I know you want to curse them for money, but you don't do it. It's settled. Well, the Midianites and the Moabites, they send more distinguished people to plead with him and more money. Verse 18 through 22, our first point. Two can play this game. He's up to something. He's being a little deceiving here. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could do not anything, either small or great, contrary to the command of the Lord my God. Well, that sounds wonderful. No matter how much money you give me, I cannot go against God's command. But see, in our hearts sometimes, we really want something else, and we're going to scheme to get there. Verse 19, and now please, you also stay here tonight, and I'll find out what else the Lord will speak to me. The Lord's already told him, don't curse them. It's settled. Oh, but y'all stay here. I'll go talk to the Lord. Maybe I can still get the money. Verse 20, and God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men have to come to call you, rise up and go with them. But only the word which I speak, you shall do. So Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the leaders of Moab. Verse 22, but God was angry because he was going. God says, you want to go with them? Go with them. Go ahead. God knows what's in the hearts of people. He's not fooling anybody. And now God's angry. He knew better than that. He wasn't thinking rightly. God's already told him, you don't curse them. They're blessed people. It's settled. But no, we're going to get the money. Well, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and 12, God will give you what you want. He will help you go down that wrong road if you want to. That's the scary thing about all this. You get what you want in your heart, so you have to be careful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, talking about the man of deception. And for this reason, God will send upon them, verse 10 rather, and with all the deception of wickedness, for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Without the love of the truth, God can't draw you home. You stay where you're at. Verse 11, you don't love the truth. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. God will send a deluding influence to help you believe something other than the truth that if you don't want the truth. Verse 12, why? In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. You don't want the truth? God will help you get there wherever you want to go. Makes judgment easy, because the only question going to be asked when anybody argues the day of judgment is, what did you want out of your religion? Oh, we like this, we like that. Did you care anything about the truth? No. Okay, say case closed. Well, in the point number two this morning, in Numbers 22, verse 23 through 27, Balaam is going with the men from Moab, and he's riding a donkey. And the dumb donkey has more spiritual sense than the prophet of God. Sometimes other things, you know, they put us to shame, can see spiritual things where we can't see where this is going. Verse 22. But God was angry because he was going, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding on his donkey and his two servants were with him. You know, angels, Hebrews 1:14, they minister to those who inherit salvation. Their only other role is adversarial. And this angel is an adversary against Balak the prophet. Verse 23, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field, but Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the way. The donkey, he don't need his eyes open. He sees what's where this is going. That angel standing there, and he's got his sword drawn, and you don't draw your sword for no reason. I mean, if the cop stops your car and they pull the gun out, that's not a good sign. Something's wrong. Well, he strikes the donkey. He's going to go do this no matter what. This dumb donkey ain't going to stop him for going after that money. No matter whether it's right or wrong, we're going to do it. Verse 24, and the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path of the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pressed herself to the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. This donkey, she's going to save his life. And so she presses up against the wall with his leg pressed there, and he's beating on her to go forward. Madness. Has no clue spiritually what's fixing to happen to him. But he's going to go forward. You ever do that? Know you're doing something dumb, and then you're determined you're going to do it. And there's people telling you what? Don't do it. And giving you reasons why not to do it. Well, Balaam is going to do it. Verse 26, the angel of the Lord went further, and he stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn to the right or the left. Verse 27, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And so Balaam was angry, struck the donkey with his stick. It's a dumb donkey, but it's a smart donkey. Oh, it just lays down. This donkey is doing everything it can to save this unrighteous prophet's life. And he just keeps beating on her. Well, the madness is now going to be realized. Verse 28 through 30. The Lord opens the mouth of the donkey. He'll later open the eyes of Balaam. Verse 28, the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you struck me these three times? Then Balaam said to the donkey, because you made a mockery of me. If there had been a sword in my hand, I would have killed you by now. You know, you got a donkey talking to you. Lord ever gave you a sign? You know, that maybe you need to come to your senses here. Well, worse than that, verse 30. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey in which you've ridden all your life to this day? Have I ever been accustomed to do so to you? How about my record? I've been faithful the whole time. I've never done you wrong. You notice the end of verse 30? And he said, no. The dumb donkey wins the argument. There's no reason to be beating the donkey. Something is wrong. Something is different here today. The donkey's not doing what he normally would do. He's been a faithful donkey. Then the Lord opens the eyes of Balaam the prophet, verse 31. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed all the way to the ground. It's amazing when you realize how wrong you are. If you don't know you're wrong, you don't think there's no danger. Today, people scoff at God and they laugh. You know, they can't see that things aren't going well. That things might, you might be wrong. They don't want to hear they're wrong. Oh, when Balaam saw the angel with the sword drawn, it don't take long to figure out where this is going. And he bows completely to the ground. He gives everything up. Heart gets clean real quick. We're going to give up all this greediness for money. You know, verse 32, and the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck the donkey these three times? Behold, I've come out as an adversary because your way was contrary to me." You don't want an angel talking to you either. Because there's probably something wrong. You're not that good a person to be there to bless you. And you're picked out of all the people on the earth because you're special and you're holy. Now, me and you are at odds here, Balaam. Verse 33, the donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, I would surely have killed you just now and let her live. You can be thankful for that donkey. I would have killed you. Oh, people don't believe God take people's lives. You haven't read the Old Testament. You haven't read the New Testament. It's as if we decide when our time's up on earth that people can do some things that are bad and they lose their right to exist on this earth today. It's all over the Bible. But you got an angel here telling you if that donkey hadn't did what he did and you're beating on that donkey, driving it right into me, yeah, I'd have killed you. Verse 34, and Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you were standing in the way against me." Oh yeah, he'd have repented early if he'd have knew. You know, you look at Romans chapter 8. And Romans chapter 8. God's going to bless Israel because they're the people of God. Well, before I go to Romans 8, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me go back to Numbers 22. We'll just make a couple other points here. If you go over to chapter 23, verse 8. Balaam goes with these people. He's talking to the king, Balak. And he makes a point. He's going to make some points. 23:8. "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how can I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced?" I mean, he's come to his senses. I can't curse the people of God because they're blessed. I can't denounce them because they're not denounced. I got to line up with the will of God, and this is the will of God. He's for those people. I don't care how much you want me to curse them, how much you're going to pay me to curse them, they're not cursed, and God's not going to allow that to happen. 23, verse 20. "Behold, I received a command to bless. When he's blessed, then I cannot revoke it." If God's blessed the people of God, it can't be changed. If you're the people of God and you're blessed, there's nothing nobody's going to do about it except God. Verse 21. "He's not observed misfortune in Jacob." He's talking about sin. If they're the people of God and they haven't committed flagrant sins, there's no problem here. They're not going to be cursed. Verse 21. "He's not observed misfortune in Jacob, nor has he seen trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him." You're wanting to curse the people of God whom God hasn't cursed. That's not going to happen. If they don't go astray, it's not going to happen. God's going to continue to bless them. Verse 25. "Then Balak said to Balaam, 'Do not curse them at all, nor bless them at all. Don't say nothing. Just shut up. Don't compound the problem.'" Well, that's how it ends. You know, you look at Romans chapter 8 now. In Romans chapter 8, talking about the Christian, and how blessed they are, and how much that has to take place in order for that blessing to be revoked. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Once you read the first 8 chapters of Romans, God's for you. If you have faith in Jesus, real faith in Jesus, God's for you. Now the rule is the wrath of God's revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. Man has to escape from the wrath of God. It's real. It's coming. Now they're with that excuse because they can look out in nature and they can see the inequalities of God. So they're without excuse. Religious people without excuse, Romans 2:1, because they condemn certain things and then they practice the very same things they condemn, so they're without excuse. And all of sin falls short of the glory of God. To realize that you're facing the angel of the sword and that Jesus died for your sins and God can count you righteous at baptism. That means God's for you. If God's for you, who's against you? God's going to defend His people, as we saw against Balak in verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. The worst thing can happen to you is someone brings a charge and the judge accepts the charge as right. If anybody brings a charge against the people of God, who did they have to take it to? God, who's blessed them. You go astray from God, it's the only way you can get in real trouble. God is the judge. Nobody else can get you thrown out except yourself. Verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? If your salvation starts with God sacrificing His Son freely, so that you can escape the wrath of God. What do you think He has in store for you in the future? A lot of good things. He will do anything to get you to heaven. Anything. Verse 33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? The people of God. Who will do that? God is the one who justifies. God's the one that declares not guilty. They got to go to God. They got to go to Jesus. Verse 34. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus. Is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. And so you do wrong. People want you condemned. They want you thrown out. They want you cursed. They got to go through Jesus. And if you depend on Jesus to be right with God, He'll defend you. If you can come to your senses, you can realize, and you can bow yourself, Jesus will defend you. That's the purpose He lives. Verse 35, the only question left. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What will you let your relationship with God be changed by? Who? What? I mean, we go through a lot of difficulties in life. A lot of bad people want to do us harm. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to turn being blessed to being cursed? He starts to ask some questions. Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as written, for thy sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Talking about the apostles. They didn't quit. They had Jesus. They're blessed. Doesn't matter what comes. That's not causing them to leave. Verse 37, for in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Knowing that you've been loved by Jesus, you can conquer anything. And you can win by a large margin. You can make it to heaven. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing should be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul says it can't be done if you're a believer. If you know you're blessed, you know Jesus is what stands between you and God, it's not an angel with a drawn sword. It's the blood of Jesus There's nothing separates you from the love of God. I mean, Saul of Tarsus said he was the worst, and he was. He tried to destroy the new religion. Ignorant. I mean, if there's degrees of punishment and you're trying to wipe out the new plan of salvation, you're first in line for degrees of punishment. And for a man to come to you representing God and say, why do you delay? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name, Acts 22:16. What are you going to do? Oh, it's more better to be with God than going against Him. You need to respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing.